In the gospel reading today, we hear about St. Thomas and, of course, his famous doubt and questioning, and I will not believe unless, and so on. And we can, I think, all look at that and say, thankfully, we believe. But do we? Let me put that another way. It's not so much a question of whether we believe that Jesus rose from the dead. It's not even a belief in whether Jesus is God. I don't think any of us probably have a problem with any of those. The problem is on the other side of things. We heard in the first reading that we are no longer strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God. Do you believe that? That's where we are running into trouble. Because if we're going to say that I believe in who Jesus is, then we have to believe in what follows from that. It cannot be kept at an arm's distance. Yeah, we can look at it at an arm's distance and say, yep, I believe Jesus is God. Yep, I believe that he rose from the dead. That's excellent. Satan can say the exact same thing. So we haven't quite yet broken out of where we need to be. Satan cannot say that he believes that he is a member of the household of God. Satan cannot say that he believes that he's a child of God. Satan cannot say that he believes that God dwells within him, because, of course, he doesn't, because Satan rejected it. But you can say yes to that. It no longer simply remains at an arm's distance. It's no longer an objective point of the faith. It now becomes very subjective, because we're now brought in as the children of God. Again, we've all heard that thousands of times. We all know that. It's not a question of whether we know it. It's a question of whether you believe it. Do we really believe in who we are by God's providence? We look at our sinfulness, and we look at what the world tells us. The world tells us that we are objects. The world tells us that we are trash. The world tells us that we're no good. The world tells us that our value is going to be found in what our little bodies look like, or how much money we have, or our possessions, or whatever they are. God says, you have dignity because of who he made you to be, not because of what you look like, not because of how much money you have, because none of that matters. You have dignity because of who you are in God's providence, who he created you to be, and the fact that now he has made you his own. As I oftentimes will point out to people, we have trouble believing in what is on the first page of the Bible. You and I are made in the image and likeness of God. We have trouble believing that. We are equal to every single person on the face of the earth. Every person who has ever been created and ever will be created are all created in the image and likeness of God. And we have trouble with that. That's just on the natural level. Now God has elevated you and me through baptism so that we have become children of God, members of the household of God. We are united with the saints. We have the grace of God. We have the life of God. We have been given this immense dignity. We can't even accept our natural dignity Because God looked at you when he created you and said, it is very good. Do you believe that? You are very good by nature, not what you do, because we know we don't always do very good things, but who you are by creation is very good. You see where we're starting to run into trouble? We can't even believe that. How are we ever going to believe now that we are raised to a supernatural level of acting and being? How can we believe that we are children of God? How can we believe that we're members of the household? How can we believe that we're united with the saints? How can we believe that we have the grace of God and that God dwells in us if we can't even believe that we're made in his image and likeness? That we're good by nature. This is what follows from believing in God, from believing in the resurrection. You are so good that Jesus took your nature to himself. God became one of us. That's not worthless trash. That's not an object. That's your dignity. Do you believe that? Not up here, down here. Because again, we're all just going to flippantly go, I know. I've heard that how many times? Right on the first page of the Bible, yeah, I know that. I'm not asking if you know it. I'm asking if you believe it, because that's the point that Jesus is making today. Thomas wouldn't believe. And so we're just like doubting Thomas. It's right there on the first page of the Bible. It's right there on the first page of the New Testament. And we don't believe. So that's the part we have to look at. That's what we need to be able to deal with within our own self. To be able to wrestle with these concepts, let them in, and be able to accept them. Because otherwise, we're just being like Thomas. I will not believe. Why? If we're going to say that Jesus is God, if we're going to say we believe that Jesus is God, then everything else has to be believed as well, because he's the one who revealed it. And if we don't believe in what he has revealed, then we're saying that he's not God. And we're saying that he's a liar, because he said something that's not true. See, the implications of this become huge. So we go back again to that reading that we just heard. You're strangers and sojourners no longer. You're fellow citizens with the holy ones. You're members of the household of God. You're being built up in a temple, into the temple of the Lord, a dwelling place for God and the Holy Spirit. That is you. You can't keep that at an arm's distance, because it's happening in here. That's where we have to be able to go, to be able to accept these things, to struggle with them, to be able to look at them. So try your best in prayer to get into your heart and look seriously at these things, because it all follows from exactly what St. Thomas said that he believed, and what you and I say that we believe. My Lord and my God. He is Lord and God. He is the one who has revealed it. It is the truth that is happening inside of you right now. Do you believe?